Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Way to throw me under the bus.
I thought it'd be a good way to get the show started.
I mean, we didn't even play the music yet, and I'm already under the bus, but that's okay.
You get a good view from under the bus.
Paul and Jordana, David at the helm. David, this is his last day for a week because he's going on a great vacation out to Utah. We're going to miss you a lot.
Thank you. I'm going to miss... No, you're not.
Sorry. Our friend Chris is going to fill in. But David's going to share everything he learned about Utah and camping and all and hiking and national parks when he returns.
And we're going to be doing more segments on travel.
Mm-hmm,
and affordable, frugal travel, too. You know, seeing the most stuff for the least amount of money. I think that's a worthy goal. Okay, so the president came to town last night, Jordana. The sun still rose in the east this morning.
Everything was okay.
Right?
Everything was a little pepper spray, a little breaking stuff up. But it's my understanding as I look at the news release from the chief.
Could have been worse.
John Elder. Yeah, it looks like, you know, as he said, there were tens of thousands of people visiting downtown. So it looks like nobody was injured. I don't know that there were any arrests were made. Vast majority, he says, were peaceful and respectful. Others did engage with some individuals and groups demonstrating aggressive or illegal behavior. To address those issues related to life safety and property damage. One officer engaged when assaulted during their response. But I don't think any major injuries, so the city survived.
And Mayor Fry's stature
appears
to have increased, right?
Because
he took on the
mayor.
President, that back and forth about who's going to pay the $530,000. Do we even know, is it going to be that much?
I don't know. That's a very good question, how much it will be. I'm sure those figures will be coming out later, you know, in these later weeks. And yes, the mayor is, by the way, the internet is ogling our mayor. They think he's a very handsome
ogling.
Man. Yeah, they are. I think he's a very handsome man. And also, I thought Minneapolis fared well. When I was down there at the end of our show, I went down there at 5:30, mm-hmm. got into the fray, past the barricades, into where all the protesters and rally goers were. It was peaceful at that time. I didn't feel unsafe. It was
even when they saw you.
Even
I mean,
when they
it,
saw
it
me.
Remained peaceful.
Even when they saw me.
Wow.
But our own Sloan Martin was in Target Center for the entire rally, and then she was also there after the rally to maybe see some of the fracas, some of the mayhem. She's joining us now with the latest. Hey, Sloan.
Hey, Sloan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was there through, I want to say, about 10:15, and I heard from other reporters that things were pretty much totally dead around 11:30.
Okay.
So I feel like I kind of saw the height of things, kind of the peak of this excitement of the crowd. But like you said, Jordana, I felt like, and I'll just say personally, and of course the things that are outlined here by Chief Arredondo are really inappropriate. And of course he does say that the vast majority of people were peaceful and respectful. And I saw that too. There definitely were just bad and ugly incidents. Of course, I didn't really fear for myself personally, and that's just one person's observation.
What about inside? Was it filled? Was Target Center sold out?
Yeah, did they come after the press? Didn't the president make reference to Jim Acosta? The favorite boogeyman, right,
well,
at CNN?
You know what? That's his favorite, and Jim was there. I thought he mentioned specifically a Washington Post writer. I cannot remember who exactly it was, but it was funny because it took him about 40 minutes to first mention Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, which I think would have caught people off guard. Of course, he doesn't usually come in and stick to the script that he's given. But talking about the media was very early on. And it seemed like he had to kind of like cajole the crowd to get that out of them, to get the boos out of them. Like they were maybe like reticent at first. And I thought that was kind of interesting here for our Minnesota crowd. But that was, you know, it was kind of an early go-to thing to do. And I think the quote was, they are very bad for our country. So the booze rained down. I even saw on Twitter, I didn't see this myself, but a Yahoo national writer who was there, he saw a father at the media and teaching them. There's another instance there where, yeah, it that's kind of goes in the category of interactions you don't want to see.
And then I wasn't inside. It was 102 minutes. That was very long. But
it was.
I heard that every time, and please, every time Somalia was mentioned, that there were booze. Is that true, Sloan?
If you want to call them boos, grumbles, groans, something like that, yes. I have, you know, I was definitely able to when I was there. And there was a lot of stories today about just the reaction from the Somali community when they are here and our citizens, they've been here, a lot of them, for decades, and to hear this kind of vitriol just based on their existence and, you know, things they can't control, like their country of origin and their religion. I can't imagine just how tough that is to hear. But yeah, there was definitely audible reaction when that did come up, and the president really bragging about lessening that population here, that people would be interested and would want to hear that.
Sloan, thank you for being inside there, and thank you for providing the color. We
appreciate it. Yeah, great coverage last night. Thank you, Sloan.
I appreciate it. Thanks, you guys.
You got it. And the president also spoke about Joe Biden and friends and colleagues of mine who are possibly still supporters of the president. That's the one thing they said that troubled them. I think we have that cut on Biden.
He was only a good vice president because he understood how to kiss Barack Obama's ass.
Got a big cheer.
Can we say that on the air?
Got a big, well, I guess if you're the president,
If the president does, I mean, we can't censor, edit the president, can we?
I guess you can. So, interesting color by Sloan, Minneapolis. Good job. We survived. All is well. Everything is cleaned up, and we get to move on and talk about nasty weather.
Really? This will come as a relief.
From nasty comments to nasty weather.
Well, look, it's October. It snows in October. We shouldn't be that shocked. We're just getting a glancing blow of slush. Mm-hmm. Nothing really has changed significantly from yesterday. We're going to get a coating. I think we'll wake up to some slushy lawns. If you do wake up and there's a little white on your lawn, it should be gone by 10 a.m. when temperatures mellow to 35, 36. It's going to be a raw day tomorrow. Wind chills in the 20s. Just a coating. I'm thinking maybe half an inch of snow for most of the metro. Watch the bridges, though. If you're heading west towards Wilmer, even Hutch, heading northwest towards St. Michael, Elk River, the bridges, because they're cooled from above and below, those bridge decks can chill down a lot faster.
Yeah.
And those are the first things to ice up. So coming a little bit earlier than most years. Red River Valley will get 3 to 6 inches. Parts of North Dakota closed. Wouldn't even think of trying to get west of Fargo or west of Grand Forks for the next 36 hours. And then next week, a return to normalcy. As normal as it gets.
As normal as it gets.
Yeah.
So, what do you got planned for the weekend? Maybe it's a movie. Tim Lammers will line up your movies next.
Paul and Jordana.
When I saw him, it was like I was seeing a ghost. Like every trigger I've ever pulled. How'd he start you? Hunting birds, rabbit? I'm guessing 19, 20 years old, the first time he ordered you to shoot a person.
Okay, Tim Lammers' movie review brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com. That was a clip from Gemini Man. And Tim Lammers, I'm worried that my inevitable clone is going to be, well, better looking, faster, healthier, better disposition than me. I mean, this whole cloning stuff, I know it seems like science fiction, but you wonder if our grandkids, you know, cloning will be just sort of accepted. But I saw the clips, the previews. It looks intriguing. What did you think?
Oh, it is intriguing, Paul, and hello, Jordana. Look, they do make reference, in fact, to Dolly the Sheep in the film, and that this clone that Will Smith is facing was actually, this experiment happened before Dolly. So, yeah, right now it's science fiction. It's an entertaining science fiction movie directed by Ang Lee. I think it was great to bring him aboard to direct this film. Will Smith plays this military sniper. He has some classified info. He's retired, but he's not going to be going fishing. He's on the run because people want him dead because he knows this classified info. Mm. He's highly skilled. And he's so skilled that the only person that's good enough to beat him is himself. So this other cutting-edge military contractor says, you know what? I've raised this clone of this guy. I'm going to send him after him. And so it's a showdown between Will Smith's character Whoa. And himself, essentially.
There has to be another twist, because up front we already know the twist, that he has to fight himself. So is there a twist at the end, or does one really become victorious?
Well, you know, there are twists in the movie. Yes. I guess, you know, the interesting thing is that this could have been a one trick pony movie. Oh, a guy taking on his clone, but they're facing each other, looking at each other saying, look, I know the job is to kill you, but if I kill you, I'm essentially killing myself.
Right.
So it explores some really heady themes in here. So that's what I like
deep.
About it. It's sort of like
it's
a deep. Thinking person's action movie. And you know, but on top of that, I mean, if you don't want to think, if you just want to have a good time, the action is spectacular. There's a motorcycle scene, a motorcycle chase scene in here amongst the best I've ever seen. It's
really
just thrilling stuff. But yeah, there are things in there. There are twists that come about. And the movie doesn't end exactly the way you think it is. So it will end, I should say. So yeah, I guess you could say there's a big twist.
Will Smith
getting it done, yeah. Okay, the second show is Annabelle Comes Home. Streaming now, I think we have a clip of that. Dave?
You folks need to turn around. Pretty bad accident up ahead.
Anything we can do?
You a doctor or something?
Or something.
Nice doll.
That's what you think. Did it work?
The evil is contained.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. You're going to race
out to
see
that. I have a feeling that Jordana's going to want to pass on this one.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah?
And dolls, too. Like, my youngest had a fear of dolls when she was little. It's weird.
Oh, you know what? Dolls freak me out, too, especially the vintage ones like Annabelle.
Yes.
But I really enjoyed these movies. This is actually the third Annabelle movie in the Conjuring universe. It's a whole universe of movies where all these characters are connected. And in this case, Annabelle, they know it's an evil doll, and it's locked up in this room of other artifacts mm-hmm. that are possessed or are evil. And a Snoopy friend of a babysitter goes into this room and opens the case, lets Annabelle out, and then all the evil spirits start to show up. And it's one scary night in the Warren household. Now, this is based on Ed and Elizabeth Warren's true case files. Not Elizabeth Warren, Lorraine Warren.
Oh, boy, okay.
And yeah, not that Warren, Lorraine Warren. And Lorraine Warren actually just died last year. So, you know, while this is an entertaining movie that'll make you jump and scream and everything like that, it's all rooted in this these supernatural paranormal investigations. So that makes it a little more interesting and a little more edgy.
Oh, way creepier.
Oh, wow.
Because it's kind of real.
I'll tell you, there's something about, I mean, clowns and dolls. I mean,
yes.
They kind of freak me out, too. And my youngest son, my Navy son, who flew helicopters for the Navy off the coast of Iran, freaked out by dolls.
I don't blame
him. So
you.
Every chance I get, I send him like a link to dolls. Yeah.
And you know, and look, it's a sort of a base fear. I mean, it's really something simplistic that, again, you probably grew up and you this fear of dolls or clowns, something that goes way, way back. I mean, these are low budget movies. They're very well done, but it's amazing how it keeps attracting audiences. I think somehow they want to confront those sorts of fears and laugh with people and jump with people. And in this case, obviously, you're watching it at home. So last night, my wife and I watched this thing. Oh, I swear to God, we jumped 20, 25 times. It was more of a fun experience than anything. But again, the fact that the Warrens actually investigated these paranormal instances and the fact that Annabelle is, in fact, a real doll that is still around today. It's actually a Raggedy Ann doll. Oh, just makes it a little more spookier.
Okay, and right. We're done. We're Tim done talking Lammers. About this now. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Tim, for freaking us
Sorry,
out.
You know, it's Halloween month. I got to
scare you. Yeah, yeah. You're doing a good job.
Jordana.
That's good. All right. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Tim Lammers Movie Reviews brought to you by Bradshaw and Bryant Personal Injury Attorneys seeking justice for the injured. Find them at Minnesota Personal Injury. .com. When we come back, is it time to do away with Columbus Day? And some people are actually allergic to exercise. It's a real thing. I'm not making this up. That's coming up next.
Paul and Jordana.
Okay, so you question me.
Yeah,
about being allergic to exercise.
Cuz I'd like to be.
No. Really?
I mean, then you don't have to do it. You have a good reason.
But then you gain weight and die young. So
I do like yoga.
Yeah.
Okay, so go ahead. Hit me.
So this was in Popular Science, caught my eye. Actually, my wife sent this to me. I don't know if this is a hint.
Uh-oh.
Lori sent this to me. Oh, thanks, honey.
You're not, so get moving.
It's called exercise-induced anaphylaxis.
Oh, boy.
First described in 1979, only affects 50 out of 100,000 people, Jor. While awareness of the condition among allergists has gone up, researchers and doctors still don't know exactly why it occurs.
Isn't that just asthma?
No, it's not. It's a severe allergic reaction, one where you actually need an EpiPen.
Oh, really?
Much like somebody who's allergic to peanuts. Mm-hmm. The reaction comes from combining certain types of food or medication and exercise. It's not just the exercise itself. The exercise can trigger the allergic reaction after you consume things like aspirin or nuts or tomatoes. Almost all types of exercise, running, dancing, biking, have been reported to cause anaphylaxis. No reports of anybody having that reaction after swimming. It's pretty rare for people who are relatively fit as opposed to somebody who's in so-so shape.
Build up the tolerance to
it, perhaps.
If you do have it.
Anyway, you just might want to share that with Handsome Husband. Yeah, you can be allergic to exercise.
Right, I'll use that.
Please be careful out there.
That's right. If you see zombies walking around Minneapolis this weekend, it's just the zombie pub crawl. It is not the zombie apocalypse.
Okay.
It's the pub crawl. This is such a fun event. If you've never been downtown Minneapolis for the zombie pub crawl, just come and walk around. It's a great way to get excited about Halloween. It's fun for the kids. My kids absolutely love it, but people really get into it. There's a total music lineup. A Boogie with the Hoodie, Borgore, Lil Tecca. I don't know any of these bands, my friends. Champagne Drip, Emo Night LA, Nimic Revenue. There's a lot of bands that I don't know who they are, but there are bands playing all over the city. And the Zombie Pub Crawl is just a fun event, and everyone is out and about in their full zombie gear, and people get into it. You hear the moaning, and you see the limping. So come on out and about downtown this weekend because it's super fun.
What's not to love about zombies?
Super fun.
Yeah. Some of my best friends are zombies. So my wife is half Italian, and I tried to get her impression about the idea of getting rid of Columbus Day because Christopher Columbus, was kind of a schmuck.
Yep.
He was not a nice guy.
Yep.
The District of Columbia, so Washington, D.C., has passed legislation to change the name Columbus Day in honor of Native Americans. They're going to change it to Indigenous Peoples Day.
Right.
It's important for us to recognize people who were already here before we came over from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
According to David Grosso, he's D.C. council member. Too often we've done a bad job recognizing Native Americans, given too much credit to Columbus. The legislation says Columbus enslaved, colonized, mutilated, and massacred thousands of Indigenous people in the Americas. It says the holiday to honor him is, quote, in reverence to a divisive figure whose actions against indigenous people run counter to the values of equality, diversity, and inclusion, values that the district has long embodied and serves only to perpetrate hate and oppression. Mm-hmm. What do you think of that?
Look, I'm from New Jersey, and we worship Columbus in New Jersey because so many Italians, like everybody that I grew up with was Italian. The food is amazing. We have Columbus, Columbus Square is in Manhattan, but we have Columbus Circle, we have Columbus Park, we have Columbus, everything is named after Columbus in New Jersey. So I don't know that it would sit well with my New Jersey peeps.
Hey, we got rid of Lake Calhoun because we found out Calhoun was, a racist?
I was an extreme advocate for slavery, John C. Calhoun. We do not teach the proper history of our nation. When we talk about Columbus, he did not discover America. There was already people living here, thriving here, and we massacred them. So, I am all for this. It should be Indigenous Peoples Day. And Columbus shouldn't be erased, but he should be in a museum or a history book, other people who massacre others.
History is written by the victors.
Exactly.
Somebody once said. But facts matter. I think it's something everybody should look at. Yeah.
So this crazy story about these cameras in the Mall of America dressing room. Mm. Some perv put some cameras in the Forever 21 stores.
Glad I don't shop there anymore.
Hollister and Forever 21
stores. They carded me. Last time I went, they asked for ID. You're not 21, sir.
Between March and September at the Mall of America and the Hollister store at the Maplewood Mall. And officials fear that more than 100 people may have been secretly taped at the Mall of America store. And now there is a hotline. They have a separate telephone number to help with the case. People want to hear from potential victims. Since they issued a news release, there's a number, 952-563-4994. I'm sure it's on the WCCO website. For make it easier for investigators to manage the information that is coming in. I am disgusted, and I am super sorry about this. This 42-year-old guy from Elk River is suspected of placing hidden cameras in dressing rooms around malls.
And they didn't look like cameras, right? He engineered these cameras to look innocuous.
I'm sorry. I am sorry that stuff like this goes on. Because you're just shopping, getting changed, trying on your stuff, and some perv is keeping an eye out for you.
Somebody saw my tattoos.
All those tats
on my back.
Yeah.
All right. Schools are suing Jewel as if Jewel does not have enough problems.
Not
right
Jewel
now.
The singer. Jewel the
Vaping maker. Yes. No, not that Jewel. Because so many students now are vaping on campus, and they're suing e-cigarette manufacturer Jewel Labs. And this is happening in Olathe, Kansas, outside of Kansas City, St. Charles, Missouri, Long Island, New York, mm-hmm. Laconia, Washington. All these suits, Jor, charge that Jewel has hooked a new generation of young smokers with sweet flavors, placing a burden on schools. Again, you got flavors like bubblegum and grape.
Yeah.
Are you really with a straight face trying to make the case that
for
you're not trying to hook younger people?
Right.
They keep saying, we're not going after younger people. Quote, I think it's disgusting that you would try to addict our children knowing the health consequences. In a statement, Juul officials said they never marketed to kids and have taken steps to limit access to product for anybody under the age of 21. But we all know if you want something badly enough, friend can get it, an older friend, whatever. CDC estimates number of middle and high school students who use e-cigarettes rose by more than 50% in 1 year from 2017 to 2018, going from 2.1 million to 3.6 million. Jewel schools have been forced to install sensors in bathrooms, remove bathroom doors, ban flash drives, hire more staff, and provide programs to help students deal with nicotine addiction. So these schools are paying more money, and now they're going after Jewel to try to recover that money.
Don't blame them.
Once the attorneys get involved, watch out.
I want to do the Shep Smith story, but just bouncing off of your vape story,
mm-hmm.
Insurance companies are now reclassifying e-cigarette users as smokers.
Really?
Prudential, the fourth largest U.S. life insurance company, will reclassify you. If you are a vapor, they will treat you like a smoker. And you know your insurance goes up if you are a smoker. You are a high risk. Hmm. Smokers often pay about 50% a year more for life insurance than non-smokers and vapers. The e-cigarette industry is already suffering, as Paul mentioned, from bad publicity, and now this lawsuit about from the schools about death and lung injuries, and now on your health, at least life insurance, it's going to be considered smokers.
Yeah, so.
Crazy. So how about we don't do it?
Wean yourself off the vaping as quickly as you can for a number of good reasons.
Can I just sneak in this one more? Because this happened today. We are now learning that Shepard Smith,
yes,
a talk show host at Fox News, is leaving the network. He said in a statement recently, asked the company to allow me to leave Fox and begin a new chapter. I guess he had a contract and he wanted out. And they said yes. Here's a little bit of his statement.
Even in our currently polarized nation, it's my hope that the facts will win the day. That the truth will always matter, that journalism and journalists will thrive. I'm Shepard Smith, Fox News, New York.
Wow, good for him.
It's amazing. And the subtext there is there's been quite a back and forth between the opinion shows, mm-hmm. Sean Hannity, mm-hmm. Tucker Carlson, and between the news side of Fox News. And I suspect that maybe management did not stick up for Shep enough.
I mean, he was one of the few voices that actually spoke truth to power. Told lies.
Yeah,
and Chris Wallace.
There were a few who seemed to be straight shooters and actually reported the news and didn't try to spin the news.
Right, but I mean, he had a talk show too. He wasn't just a news anchor. He had a talk show, but he told the news, talked about the news right. In a different way than some of the other more biased talk shows there did. So, I mean, I guess, look, he was still on the air. He claims that he wanted to leave. They did not ask him to leave, but he wanted to leave, and that's good. But it was very interesting. His last few words are very telling, that journalists and journalism prevails.
Where is he going to show up?
That's a very good question.
I would bet a stale bagel he will show up at CNN.
That's a really good question. He can go anywhere he wants to go. That is a good question.
Oh, my. It's just in. She has legs.
She knows how to do that. We're going to play a game now. It's your job to play the game, so snorter over there. Get to work.
This just in. Okay. We'll do it about the weather.
This is the time every day where we play
Two Truths and a Lie.
We did it during twin season and... Now that, unfortunately, twin season is over. And yesterday we did it about political rallies. And today, since this ridiculous blizzard has dumped already 2 feet of snow in northern North Dakota, we figured we would talk about, is it blizzards?
Snow in general.
Okay, got it.
So during a typical winter, this is not one of them yet, but I'm just setting the stage.
Okay, good.
Average snowfall in the Twin Cities, 54 inches. Last winter, we had 77.1.
Yeah. That sucks.
3 winters ago, though, we only had 32.
Okay.
So it seems like it's all or nothing. Rarely do we get 54 on the noggin. Mm-hmm. That's average. Okay, so here you go. 3 statements. Which of these is false? The average first 1-inch snowfall is November the 18th. All right, that's number one. Number two, the most snow to ever fall during the Twin Cities since 1871, 143.7 inches, 1917-1918. The third, the average number of days every winter with at least a tenth of an inch of new snow, 37 days. We get an average of 37 days where there's at least a coating.
Okay.
One of those is false.
What was the first one again?
The average first 1-inch snowfall comes in the metro November 18th.
Okay. I'm going to say, because I think the second one is true, and the third one seems completely plausible that we would get a little bit of snow at some point for that many days, I am going to say the average snowfall is earlier than November 18th, so the first one is false.
Oh, wait. For people at home that didn't hear that, that would be incorrect.
Okay, so I guess I'm wrong.
November 18th is the average date of the first 1-inch snowfall in the Twin Cities. It has been as early as September 26th, back in 1942. By the way, The most snow during a winter season was 83, 84. That was the first winter I got here working at Channel 11. Mm-hmm. 98.6. That was the one. I think I made up something 140 inches.
Yeah.
No. 98.6 is the most since 1871.
Wow. That's still a lot.
That was a crazy winter.
That's a lot.
They didn't know where to put the snow. The snow was piled so high, you took your life into your hands just inching out because there were huge snowbanks everywhere.
I call them snow boobs.
Snow boots?
Like at the end of your driveway when you have those two giant mounds.
Yeah.
And then you finally can't see. You know, you can't see but if somebody's coming down
if you
your
put
road.
A bra over the
you.
Snow.
You got the
some
giant
sort of
snow boobs at the end of your driveway. Hmm. We should have a contest this year. Show us your boobs.
Show us your.
And you guys can take pictures of the snow boobs. And then whoever's got
Wait,
biggest ones.
The name
I'm
of
really
the,
getting in trouble.
The name of the contest is
Show Us Your Boobs.
Show Us Your Boobs.
You're like what they call a hysterical female.
I should say Show Us Your Snow Boobs.
Okay.
Because otherwise the FCC might get a little mad at me for that contest. Don't send us
it
pictures
might,
yet.
I think it would be a popular contest.
Don't send pictures
I think it would be
yet.
Very popular. So what are we talking about at 4:10?
Hold on. Can I talk about my Israel trip?
Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Because I'm super excited about this Israel trip. And I know that I believe the deadline for the first payment is at the end of this month. And there were a few cancellations on the trip that is almost sold out. And I would love you to have the opportunity to come with me. If you had tried before and they said, oh, we don't have any more room, now is the time where you have room. It's a holiday vacations tour to Israel. Handsome Husband and I are going January 25th to February 4th this coming year, and I'm so excited.
So just mention some of the stops.
That's right. On a day after we fly in, we arrive in Tel Aviv. On day three, we're going to Caesarea and Mount Carmel and Nazareth. Now, again, it was here Cornelius and Centurion and his household were saved and baptized. Then we are going to Mount Carmel, and that's coastal mountain range where Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal. After that, we make a stop in Nazareth's old city, visit the Church of the Annunciation. I haven't been to these places. When I go to a lot of the Jewish places.
Mm-hmm.
And this trip, we modeled the 70%, 30%. 70% of the Christian sites, the Christian holy sites, and 30% of the Jewish holy sites. And a lot of that 30% is overlap because a lot of it is Jerusalem. You know, we'll spend Shabbat, the Sabbath, the weekend in Jerusalem. And there's no other place to spend Shabbat. It's going to be over the top fantastic. But like I've been to, obviously, Masada. I've been to Mount Olive. I've been to, obviously, we've been all over the old city and, of course, the Holocaust Museum. But there are other places, and the City of David I've been to, but I've never been to Gethsemane. I'm excited about that. Qumran, I've never been there. Have you been to some of these sites? Because I know you've traveled to Israel.
Yes,
before.
Been to Masada, been to Sea of Galilee.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the Sea of Galilee is beautiful, yes.
But again, Jerusalem. And I would imagine you're probably going to go into the church that was built on top of where Christ was crucified. Mm-hmm. And also where his tomb was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing. You can actually stick your hand in and feel the imprint that the cross made in the stone. I mean, no matter what your faith, even if you have no faith in anything, it's Jerusalem. There's something extra special
Absolutely.
About Jerusalem.
It's an energy. And then when you stand at the wall, when we go to in the old city,
you
go to the Wailing Wall. And the Western Wall, there's a lot of names for it. The energy you can feel. Why are you laughing? Do you not call it the Wailing Wall?
No, I was praying and I had my kippah. Is
your
it kippah? Kippah?
Yes,
kippah?
Your yarmulke, your kippah.
I had my yarmulke and I was praying and touching the wall.
Uh-huh.
And a gentleman came up to me and he goes, you Jewish? Jewish? Juden? Jewish?
You look Jewish.
Thank you.
Yeah, you do.
And I didn't know. I thought, oh my God, I'm doing something wrong. I'm in the wrong spot.
I'm kicked out.
He's going to blow a whistle. And I said, no, I'm not Jewish. And he looked at me and he smiled and he said, welcome.
Oh.
So I'm like, and you will feel very welcome in this
room. Come. Go on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. Check it out and come with me on holiday vacations to Israel in January. Thanks, Paul.
Paul and Jordana. Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.